Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is another terrific, thankful Thursday, and you have tuned into Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. Also, you can check us out on social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Instagram. We are there reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm excited that you tuned in. It's going to be another terrific episode. So if you hadn't noticed, we are focusing on the family. This week, our whole focus has been on maintaining the marriage. You know, the person you kind of committed to for life. Yeah, sometimes that gets a little rocky. Sometimes that vision gets a little cloudy, and sometimes things don't always seem like they're going to work out. But you know what? You got into this marriage for a reason, and sometimes you have to get back to that reason to maintain what you have. Not just the love and the affection and the intimacy, but the real roots of it, the security, the safety, the support. And those are all benefits. Like hidden benefits of the marriage, but they're also necessary tools of the marriage. And when any of that is threatened or feels like it's not going to be any sort of way, when any of that is threatened, it has to be protected, it has to be guarded, because this is yours. This is part of your life. This is part of you living out loud. And as we all know, in any marriage or any close or intimate situation, you know, when you're living with somebody, things happen. Life happens, arguments happen, disagreements happen, and today we're going to talk about kind of how to fight fair, because arguments do happen. We're not perfect. The other person's not perfect. We're just some imperfect people in an imperfect world trying to get it right the best we can. And so as we have these situations that arise, we have to realize that, one, we are human. This is just another human experience. We are not isolated individuals, and no one in the world has never, ever gone through what we're going through. This, what you're going through right now, there's someone else probably on your block, your street, in your city that has experienced this or something similar, whether it's the loss of a pet, the loss of a job, whatever you think mountain is in front of you, you are not alone in it. Trials and tribulations come into every situation. Because you have a partner for life in this situation, there will be times where you have to lean in and depend on that other person, where you can't be Superman and Superwoman and save the world, because life just keeps happening, because these obstacles just keep arising. And what happens when the obstacles and the situations arise in your home? You guys are going to argue. You guys are not going to see everything the right way. Some, you may have parenting disagreements. You may have parental disagreements. You may have problems with your step-parents or your or the co-parenting or whatever it is. Whatever the issue is, just know you are not alone in it. Every real marriage goes through. I'm not talking about those Hollywood, wonderful, discombobulated, scripted marriages. I'm talking about every real marriage. We go through things, and the trick or the key kind of is remembering who's on your team. And there are moments when we will snap and we will bite off someone's head and they're on our team. It's very important to know during those moments, one, for you, if you're the person who did not snap or you're on the receiving end, look at the bigger picture. Instead of getting overly worked up and emotional and responding in that moment, look at the bigger picture. Okay, there's some stress here. There's some other situations here. This person cannot be this mad and upset over this one thing. It has to be a combination of things in order for them to snap like that. There's no way that the one issue caused such. Okay, and if you're the person who did the snapping during your reflective, you have to remember that you just took a big chunk out of your spouse, their self-esteem, their self-worth, their feelings. You did that. You chose to use your words and all the other stresses that you have to go ahead and take a bite out of your spouse. And so when you put things like that in perspective, you're like, oh, wow. So, yes, that is a time when an apology is definitely called for. Not just, oh, I'm sorry, but the I'm sorry with some action behind it, be it a foot rub or back massage or whatever works in your household, but also talking about what is the real issue here. You know, honey, the fact that you cook the cake at 350 instead of 325 like my aunt always does, that really wasn't the issue. The real issue is I've got all these deadlines at work and everything just keeps coming down on me. And, you know, that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. I apologize. Next time maybe we can bake the cake together. See, so now you have a solution, you have an apology, and an explanation of, you know, that wasn't the issue. This was the real issue, and I never meant to hurt you. Because when we get close to people, we can often do things inadvertently or advertently to really hurt them. But when you look at it, every time you do something like that, you are taking a bite out of your spouse. Now you have an injured team member, and you're up against the world and all these other odds as is, and now the person on your team is injured, and you're the one who caused the injury. In the Army, they call that friendly fire. It's not very friendly. But it's more so because you expect an attack from a quote-unquote enemy. You don't really expect an attack from someone who's on the same team as you. And so you're not as guarded for that attack, especially early in the morning. You're not as guarded for that attack, and so you're not prepared. And so it comes at you and it hits you harder because it also hits you emotionally. Then you've got to go through all that. But anyways, so when we're having these arguments, these disagreements, these moments, remember this. Timing and tone are everything. The kids say a lot, oh, my gosh, that's my everything. Yes, this is everything. But seriously, when you're arguing, timing, when you are choosing to bring up an issue, and tone, voice your concerns in a constructive way in time. You can say all day the right things, supposedly right things, but how you say it, your body language, the tone of what you use, are your teeth all clenched together? Are you red in the face? Are you rolling your eyes? Are you being sarcastic? None of that helps. And if the end result is to find some sort of resolution and to be helpful and to really seek peace in your home, then you need to do what is necessary, what is good, and what is right. And that means coming back at the right time after you've processed your contribution to the situation and use the right tone. For the spouse on the receiving end, sometimes you're going to have to toughen up. Everything is not a direct blow to you. Again, there's a whole lot of pressure in this gift called life. There's a whole lot of pressures being an adult. And then if your spouse keeps going on and on and on, and you're upset and irate and throwing dishes over everything your spouse says, sometimes you're going to have to toughen up. Because if you've taken the time to date and to get to know this person before marriage, you kind of know their behavior. And you kind of know how they're going to act and react to a lot of situations. And a lot of times we are our spouse's sounding board, or they're our sounding board. And sometimes they'll say stuff, you're like, what? Was that for me? Is this conversation? And I know for me, I have to ask, like, is this a monologue or a dialogue? Are you just venting, or you want me to put in my two cents? I mean, are we discussing this issue, or are you just releasing some pressure? And just having that clarification helps out a lot, because they could be saying some stuff and you're just like, whoa, are you really? And they're not meaning it for a dialogue, like, hey, this is not for us to talk about right now. I just really need to get this off my chest. I need to get this out because this is how I need to deal with it, and you're my sounding board. And that's fine. But establish that in the beginning, so therefore, in that situation, you don't really have to toughen up. Well, you kind of do, because sometimes your spouse can hit you with some heavy stuff like, oh, my gosh, your boss did what? And you can't just overly react and get on the phone and call your girlfriend and hit up Facebook and be like, girl, you won't believe such a thing. It's personal. It's private. You become the confidant. Be the confidant. Make sure that your spouse can lean in and depend on you during those times and those where trials come. Some things, you're just going to have to get over it. I know. Get over it. Some small annoyances should just be overlooked and let go. In the big picture of life and this long amount of span, this long span of time that you were trying to spend with this person, whether the toilet paper goes to the front or to the back really isn't the biggest issue you guys have to deal with. There may be some weeks where the toilet paper goes to the back, and there may be some other weeks where the toilet paper goes to the front. It doesn't really matter. You got toilet paper, right? Okay. Kind of let some stuff go. Stop being the drill sergeant, whatever, in your house. This is not, your home is not the military, unless, of course, your military spouses. But I mean, you don't have to control every aspect of it. Oh my gosh, the broom has to be here, the shoes have to be here, everything has to be just right. And you're talking down to people who are supposed to be on your level with you. You are partners. You're on the same team, the same squad. You are in this together, and you constantly tearing stuff apart with your words or your actions really isn't that big on stuff that's really not that big. Toilet paper? Really? Boots? Really? Yes, it's annoying. Yes, it's pestering. Yes, it's something you just do. And maybe you've done it for the past 20 years, had to pick up the same pair of work boots that that person wants to take off at the door and leave them there. Is it possible that the person takes them off at the door because they don't want to track the mud through the house? Yeah, you can say that. And then you can also say, well, why don't you pick up your shoes and carry them to the room? Okay, if I carry them to the room and they're still muddy, when I get up in the morning and walk through the house, the carpet's going to get muddy again. And so if I just leave them by the door, or come up with another solution, whatever it is. If there's a problem, guess what? There's a solution. And so some things, you're just going to have to get over and let go. When we start to fight and argue, it usually comes from something deeper. It's usually not about the toilet paper. It may just be about the lack of appreciation or the lack of respect for what one spouse is doing or the lack of, I don't know, the feeling of loneliness because you're always gone. And when you do come home, you put the toilet paper on wrong. And so the toilet paper was the last straw. Usually there's something deeper that we have yet to communicate about. And so when that last straw does hit, the camel's back is broken. And so now we're exploding about toilet paper. And so if we continue to do those check-ins, remember we talked about that on yesterday's show, quarterly, every 3 months, every 4 months, 2 days with your spouse, check in with them, then we won't have as many explosive episodes. So depending upon how they react, like certain situations turn into these full-blown shouting matches, all sorts of hurtful language, and use all these absolute stuff, and you never do this, and that's why you never. This is your spouse, and this is your home, and this is really not what you want. No one wants. I promise you, I don't know any married couple says, you know what, I can't wait till our next argument, can't wait till our next fight. We fight every morning. It's great. Who wants that additional stress in their life? I don't know. So when there are fights and when there are things that have elevated tensions in your house, seek wholeness and reconciliation. Don't just vent that you're hurt. Find the real reason and then seek to reconnect with your spouse. Talk. Both have to talk. You remember yesterday we talked about the men are from Mars, women from Venus, and men often like to retreat and process on their own and then maybe come back. Allow that spouse, as you've gotten to know them, allow them to do what works for them as long as you don't table issues forever. You guys, no one can read the other person's mind. This is not Miss Cleo. We don't have the psychic abilities all the time. You may think you know what the person's thinking, but there could be something deeper, something from childhood, something from work that they just haven't shared with you yet. And if you allow them the opportunity to communicate and to vent and to get all of that out and listen, not with the intent to respond, but listen with the intent to hear what the real issue is, you can find out, like, wow, toilet paper is not our major issue. Our major issue is really something major. We need to address this now. You do not want to have major issues left unchecked because what happens is sometimes a third party will end up coming in. Girl, you know he's no good for you anyways, and there's always somebody there ready to do that one thing that you haven't been ready and willing to do in your marriage. Always somebody there with 2 cents to put in where you didn't even ask for change. Always somebody. So you want to make sure that you are handling as much as you can possibly handle and you are listening with the intent to hear what is being said and what is not being said. And do not, in your spouse's weakest moment, don't do things that will intentionally hurt them, even if you're hurt. Helicopter, sorry. I do understand that hurt people. I've been there, been the hurt person, and then chose to hurt someone else. Understand it. It's definitely cliche, and it's definitely true at the same time. But if you choose not to return that hurt, it will do so much to heal. but I've been through so much. You don't understand. We've been going through this for years. We've been at this. And she doesn't seem to get it. She doesn't seem to understand. It's not what you think it is. We've lived this facade for so long. Come out of the facade. Why are you faking it? Figure it out and fix it. It doesn't need all that extra stuff. You out here saving the world, and again, your household is falling apart. You are imploding. You are going out of the house to get peace. You're going out of the house to get affection. These things do not make for lasting marriages. These things are not the tools that you really need to maintain your marriage. It's like trying to use a hammer to screw in a nail. What? I don't know much about tools, but I'm pretty sure that don't work. What are you doing? Why are you hammering at the nail? Nails are meant to be screwed in. There's a process that goes with that. So you need to work with the tools that work for the job. And if you're wrong in the situation, admit it. Be an adult and own it. Do not let that P word drive you further apart. Because that daggone pride, boy, it's a big killer. And it causes further drift in marriages. And the thing about it is, be unpredictable with your admittance. Because a lot of times your spouse does not expect the apology, does not expect you to admit to being wrong in a situation. And most of the time, both parties are wrong in how they handle it. And so you could open up the door to an apology if you come at it with an apology. It's really not that hard, nor is it really rock science for you to be the best you ever, to show up and be like, dang, I messed up again. Okay. Here's how I can work on me, and here's how we can move forward. Do you see what I'm saying? These are simple and practical tools. Seek reconciliation. Talk and listen. Don't continue the hurt. And if you're wrong, admit it. Most of the time when you come in with something soft and gentle, not all the time, because some issues are whoa. Most of the time when you come in with something soft and gentle, and that's how you enter it, it will continue to stay on that level. If you continue to use tones and daggers and hurtfulness, that's the level it will go to. And when you find yourself raising up, because we're human, and that anger building inside of you, and you want to return to what's familiar, because you guys have been at this for a while, and the arguing almost seems normal now, because this is just how we handle it. That's just what we do here. That's just how we operate in unhealthy habits. When you come in with something new and different, first you're taking the person off guard, and then second, like, oh, let me lower my voice too. And it works well with children also. So instead of yelling at your kids, take that deep breath, sit down, get calm about the situation, and use a quiet voice. And they're like, what? What are you saying? I can't even hear you. What are you saying? What? And if you continue to lower your voice, things around you will calm down. If you calm this to the situation, to chaos, things can continue to calm down. The energy that you're bringing is the energy that will be reciprocated. This is a yin-yang type situation. There has to be some sort of balance. And so if one person is, and you start to calm, bring it on in. I don't want to argue. I would like to discuss. We can find a solution to this. Would you like to discuss this later? All right, let's discuss this after dinner tonight. Have a good day. That can change someone's whole tone. Because for one, they're going to think you're crazy because you've changed how you usually operate. And for two, what's the point of getting your blood pressure worked up, adding to your stress, having a physical symptom, constantly yelling and everything being off key in your house? Someone's got to be the leader for peace, the champion for reconciliation, and it might as well start with you. You might as well do all that you can do to be the best version of you and a calmer, more peaceful you so that your marriage can have a peaceful vibe to it. Because, again, the energy that you put out is going to be the energy that you met with. The words and hurtfulness that you dish out will eventually come back to you. It's a boomerang situation. Maybe like a month ago, we talked about the whole butterfly effect, that when a butterfly in one part of the world is flapping his wings, like it's affecting something on a whole other side of the world. When you are setting up peace, love, and hope, even in the midst of chaos and turmoil in your home, at first it may not be reciprocated. I promise you, if you maintain that habit after 21 days, for some of us 33 days of that, the change will start to happen. But it takes your commitment to being that peaceful person, for seeking out peace and bringing peace. And then you have those spouses who just will not bend, bow, or break. And then you have to decide for yourself, like, hey, is this that person? Is this just who that person is? And sometimes you have to bring it to the person's attention. Hey, for 33 days, and they'll notice it. They'll know. I have been calm. I have not responded in angry tones. I have done additional stuff out of love and affection, and you continue to raise your voice. Do you know what you look like when you are arguing by yourself? And for some people, you may have to record it to show them just how outlandish they look. Like, we used to look like that, or we used to sound like that. That's not why we got married, to constantly argue, fuss, and fight. At the end of the day, I really don't care how the toilet paper rolls. That's really not the primary issue. What I do care about is your health and well-being. And I feel that if we continue to stay on this downward spiral, we will hit a point of no return. Because in all things, that's really a primary fear and concern, that your marriage will fall into that 50th percentile of marriages that don't work. And if you're using all these tools and you're trying to reconcile and you are working on you and it's not being met by the other person, it's okay to call in additional help and support. And some people may need an intervention. Some people may need to be set down with some hard facts, like, this is what's going on. And you may need to get you a support group to work through it. And if your marriage is worth its weight, not necessarily in gold, but it's worth, if it was worth the ceremony, worth all the invitations, worth all the preparation, then it's worth the work that needs to be put on to maintain it. Because if you can do all that for one day, the person that you say you want to be with for life, then for life, you're going to have to constantly keep tweaking and working and shifting and moving things around for the marriage's sake. Because your marriage has to be protected. We talked about this yesterday. We talked about setting up boundaries, even with family members. Your marriage has to be respected. You have to respect the person that you're in the marriage with. You have to be willing to show them respect and give them respect and expect respect. So therefore, you have to be in a place where you respect yourself. Funniest thing. Well, I guess not. So it's kind of funny. So, of course, you know, I'm researching other marriage stuff because I don't have all the answers. And so I'm researching stuff to share with you guys. And I came across this wonderful, okay, I find it funny, okay? Yeah, I came across this article that says the best way to fight when you're married is to fight naked. What? Yeah, fight naked. Literally and figuratively, keep it light and whenever possible, be transparent always. As in, fight without your clothes on. Wow, that kind of changes some stuff and might lead to some other intimacy issues. And sometimes that's why people fight. So you can have that makeup. Yeah, all right. Fight with love as your backdrop. So if you stray away from love, then you're wrong. Love must motivate you to seek reconciliation. Otherwise, you're just being selfish. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just, if you can, get over it. Have some thick skin. And when all seems lost, trust the process. We're not going to get it right. We're not perfect. Things are not always going to be 100%. But long as you're trying, putting forth effort, you got some determination about it, things can get better. And every day, look for the good. Look for it to be better. Don't have negative expectations. Got to come on to this BS again. And whatever you do, don't look for outside help for an inside situation. Don't do that, because when you add third and fourth parties into your situation, there will come a time when you're going to want to kick them out because they have too much say in your marriage. They have too much control over what you're thinking and how you're interacting. You've got to say, hey, I'm in this with this person, and it might be like a boxing ring, but we just going to box this out until this issue is resolved, not physically. Please do not be in abusive relationships physically. I'm not condoning physical violence at all. But I am saying, for the sake of reconciliation and for the sake of your marriage and for your sanity, Sometimes the issue just has to be talked all the way out. Every aspect of the issue has to be talked out, and the person has to be listened to with respect. At all times, you definitely want reconciliation. And remember, you're teaching the spouse, you're teaching yourself, you're teaching your kids. In effect, you're affecting your community, your neighborhood, your region, and your area by what you are choosing to do, how you are choosing to interact, the words that you are using, the tone that you're using. So bring your 100% A game. Bring the positivity. Bring the hope. Bring the love. Bring all of that to every situation. And watch the situation change, evolve into something that you really want. I also think that marriages need to have a vision board. People in businesses and people who are trying to change their lives, they have a vision and a plan and a goal. So you also need those things for yourself. You need that for your marriage. You have to have a goal. Hey, we need to go on a vacation here. We need this. This is the financial goal. This is how we're going to save. This is how we're going to invest. This is what we're going to do. Here's our next trip out together. Here's what the family's going to do. Have the pictures in front of you. Keep it in front of you. So when you have those moments where you're feeling down and upset and you're feeling like the love you're giving is not reciprocated, if you have the vision in front of you, you can keep going. It will be a visual tool to continue to motivate you as to why you got married. And, of course, in the middle of that vision board, definitely have a wedding day photo. This is your life partner. And what you don't want to be is the negative side of that. You don't want to continue on a negative path. Because who wants that type of life? We grew up with Disney and the happy endings and the princesses and stuff being said. It's not always that easy. It's not always going to be a Disney ending, but it can be an ending by design, or it can be a life by design, marriage by design. You have a say-so in the situation. So say something positive. So say something uplifting. Say something encouraging. Or don't say anything at all. It makes no sense to continue to tear down the person on your team. I didn't think I was tearing them down. I thought I was motivating them. Ask them, when I talk such and such and when I say such and such, how does that make you feel? And generally listen. Like, wow, I didn't know that my words were affecting you like that. So that's why. Oh, okay. And you may be surprised by what you hear. Whatever the case may be, make the adjustments that are necessary because your marriage needs to be maintained and it needs to blossom into something beautiful. And it can't do that if you guys are constantly on opposing ends of things. So I'm excited that you guys have tuned in, and I hope that you guys have caught on to something about maintaining your marriage. This is not for play. This is not for show. This is for life. And so there are things that need to be done throughout the process and throughout the longevity of your marriage on both ends and with the family and with whatever is going on in your household. The real issue has to be dealt with. It's rarely about the toilet paper. I promise you that's not the real issue. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's a wonderful, thankful Thursday. I'm thankful you guys care enough about your marriage to even listen for tips to how to maintain it. I'm thankful for my marriage and all those people who serve as wonderful examples of that help us to hold the hope even in those rough and turmoil times. All right, you guys have a terrific, wonderful, great, awesome weekend. Live your life out loud. Do something on purpose for somebody else that will make all the difference in the world to them. All right, y'all take care until next time. Talk to you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.